Well, it's a privilege to be with you all this morning, as I mentioned earlier in the Sunday School Hour. And it's a privilege as well to open up God's Word and preach it to you. If you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 16. I will read the passage and then we will pray and ask the Holy Spirit to bless his word. Acts 16, and the text is verses 1 through 3. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him. We'll stop there. Let's pray. Our Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus, your Son, to bless your word to us. Holy Spirit, be our teacher and help me to preach your word. Holy Spirit, move among us that we would understand, that we would believe, and that we would obey the truths of your word. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The title for the sermon this morning is New Missionaries. I'm sure you'd expect a missionary visiting. He's going to preach on the theme of missions, right? And I'm certainly going to take advantage of that this morning. New missionaries. New missionaries are needed. If we're going to complete the work of the Great Commission, then more workers are needed every generation to do that. And we see here in our text a new missionary is taken on to do the work of missions. So as I preach this morning, certainly we'll have personal application for you to think individually of the text of your own lives. But I want to focus more specifically on application for your church at large. And I want to challenge you as a church here in this area of New Jersey where God has providentially placed you as a congregation. I want to challenge you to take a big step for God's kingdom. This text has to do with the taking on of a new missionary. The first missionary team, if we could say, was sent out in Acts chapter 13, Paul and Barnabas. But if there's one passage that we could go to that speaks of a new missionary being taken on, certainly we see that here in Acts chapter 16 with Paul taking on Timothy. Not much is said in local churches about new missionaries being taken on and sent out to do pioneer gospel ministry. Why? I suggest three reasons in the introduction. Why is this topic, this issue of new missionaries being sent out and taken on, not spoken of much in many churches around our country? One reason is possibly because most people consider missions to be in the area of medicine or support work or education or construction, etc., and not as evangelizing the world through preaching the gospel the way the New Testament portrays it. That could be one reason why new missionaries being taken on is not spoken of much in churches. A second reason, many churches in America have an inward focus and think only or often of just themselves, their congregation, their budget, their building, their community, an inward focus. That certainly could be a reason. And a third reason I suggest is that many churches do not consider it as relating to their realm and responsibility, but to the schools. Now, some of these may apply to your church, some of them may not. But I want to challenge you this morning to think of this vital topic and issue of sending out and taking on of new missionaries to do the work of the Great Commission, of preaching the gospel where the gospel is not being preached today. And not only that, but where the gospel has never been preached. The mission of all of Jesus's local churches is, as you've probably heard, missions. And that's the term that we use. That is your mission and mandate as a local church. And all of us collectively as God's people, as Jesus' local churches, is to do the work of evangelizing the globe. until the end comes and Christ has saved all of his people. One day that will come, where the last of Jesus' sheep is taken into the fold. The last brick is laid in the building of the church. And then, but not till then, Jesus will return. So your mission is to directly participate in advancing the message of the gospel to areas in the world where the gospel has never been announced before in history. So how do we do this in our generation? How do you, as a local church, do this in 2019, the next 5 years, the next 10 years, the next 50 years, the generation that will come after you? This is why the issue of new missionaries being taken on is vitally relevant for today. So in our text this morning in Acts 16, we have six questions and answers that we will go through. And let me give a quick summary at the beginning. Question number one, should new missionaries be taken on? The answer is yes. Question two, who takes on new missionaries? Question three, from where are new missionaries taken on, or who sends out new missionaries? Fourth, what kind of new missionaries are taken on? Fifth, what are new missionaries taken on to do? And then sixthly, general remarks, the question, why should new missionaries be taken on? So that's where we're going this morning as I preach on this topic of new missionaries from Acts chapter 16, verses 1 through 3. So first, should new missionaries be taken on in our generation, in our time in history? You know, it wasn't too long ago that William Carey had to deal with this very issue. New missionaries should be taken on. He had to fight for that. He lived in a time when people said, you know, we don't really need to do that. If God's going to save his people around the world, he'll do it. He doesn't need you. And William Carey had to go to Matthew 28 and other passages and prove from the scriptures, yes, in our generation, in our time, we must continue to take on and send out new missionaries. And it's no different in 2019. Jesus himself took on and sent out new missionaries, or evangelists, if you prefer that term. In Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 2, it says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others. That's a pretty big group. 72 others and sent them out on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest field. Jesus took on, sent out workers to do evangelism. Jesus says in John chapter 20, verse 21, as the Father sent me, I send you. Jesus was, in some sense, a sent one, a missionary on a mission to preach the gospel. The Father sent him to do this work, and then he says, I'm going. I'm going to ascend to heaven, but I send you. And that's you as a local church. That's me. Does that mean every individual Christian goes on this mission? No, but it means collectively we do it. And I want to challenge you this morning from our text and from what God's Word teaches about missions in the Great Commission that you would consider sending out a missionary from your church. New evangelists were taken on throughout the book of Acts to do this work. At the beginning, we see Paul and Barnabas, Acts 13. Here we see Timothy taken on. And throughout the book of Acts, throughout the New Testament, new missionaries were taken on and sent out to do the work of the Great Commission. Men like Barnabas, John, Mark, Silas, and others as well. And even couples like Priscilla and Aquila to do the work of the Great Commission. Jesus said in Matthew 28, all authority has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples. Do the work of missions. Fulfill the Great Commission. And lo, I am with you always. When? Not until last generation, not until just this generation, but until the end of the age. What does that mean? He will be with us until the work is completed. And that work will not be done until the end when all of God's people are saved. So we must continue to take on and send out new missionaries for the task of evangelizing the world. There's no debate. There should be no debate. We need to continue this in our generation. And so consider this as a church here in Englewood, New Jersey. of being part of this work and taking on and sending out new missionaries into the unevangelized areas of this world. I'm not talking about sending someone to go start a church in New York City or in London, but to send a missionary where the gospel is not present, where there are no Christian churches. Preaching the gospel to the unevangelized is so important, we must continue to take on and send out new missionaries. So what should your response be to this? As a church, how should you respond to this? Well, certainly it starts with your prayer meetings. As Jesus just said, pray earnestly that from your church, the Lord might be pleased to send out a new missionary. So that's the first question. Simply, should we take on and send out new missionaries? Yes. Question number two, as we move on. Who takes on new missionaries? Who takes on new missionaries? Look at our text here. Who's the one who takes on a new missionary? It's Paul as the current missionary. Verse 1, Paul came to Derbe, to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy. And it goes on in verse 3, Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him. So as a current missionary, Paul, he takes on Timothy to join him as a new missionary. Current missionaries see the evangelistic need the most, because they're on the front lines. They are there. They see there's unevangelized people. You know, sometimes as in America, we get used to the Christian bookstores and coming to church and seeing a Bible. A lot of people don't even see a Bible. And Christian radio. And there's things all across in our culture that are good, that are about the gospel, that are about God's kingdom. And we get used to that. But there are many places around this world where there is no gospel presence. And the missionaries, those who are on the front lines, they see the evangelistic need the most. And so current missionaries are the best to recruit new missionaries. That's one of our goals. That's one of our desires, one of our prayers, that by God's providence and by his calling, he would use us to bring others to the mission field as well. Also, current missionaries are already on the ground and can get a new missionary up and running, just in a very practical way. Paul was there. Paul was doing the work. And because he was doing the work, because he was already involved in a ministry of missions, he was able to take on Timothy as a new missionary and get him up and running, get him plugged in to do the work of missions as well. Those who go with no help, it's certainly more difficult. But we're there. We're praying that the Lord would raise up another couple to join us. There's other missionaries around the world as well that can help and aid in new missionaries going to do this work. So that's one of our desires. That's how we respond. That if it's the Lord's purpose, that we would be able to recruit a new missionary, possibly from your church, to do this work. How did it happen with Paul? Did Paul go to these churches and say, okay, you know, who wants to be a missionary? Stand up, come forward. It probably didn't happen that way. Was Paul looking out into the congregation as he was preaching, as he was interacting, as they were having fellowship mealtime, whatever they were doing, did he have his eye out to look for men, for couples who could join him? Maybe it happened that way. Maybe the church recognized, Paul, you have a need. You need help, and we got the guy for you. We don't know how it happened, but it did happen, right? And Paul took on a new missionary as a current missionary. Question number three. From where are new missionaries taken on? Or who sends out new missionaries? We see here in our text again, it is the local church, right? Paul doesn't go to the school. This is very significant. He doesn't go to the institution or the organization. He doesn't search on Google and find, okay, what's the best mission organization to recruit from? He doesn't do that. But where does he go? He goes to the local church. Now you might say, well, you know, they really didn't have mission organizations back then. Now that's true, but the point remains. What do we see in the scripture? He went to the local church, and there he takes on a new missionary. Now, sadly and unfortunately, the majority of new missionaries being taken on and sent out around the world come from the school or the organization. And those aren't necessarily wrong. That's not my point here. The point is clear. New missionaries must come from within the local church. That's where it starts, and that's where it continues. The biblical model in the New Testament is that new missionaries come from the church. Back in Acts chapter 13, I have a few scripture references. If you can keep up, you could turn. Otherwise, just listen. Acts 13, 2 and 3. The first missionary team being sent out, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, notice where it began. Now I want to challenge you as a church to do that. How does this apply to you? You might be thinking, well, you know, I'm an older couple. I'm a single person. I'm not going to become a new missionary. That's why I mentioned in the introduction, this is more of an application for you as a church. As you gather together, as you worship together, as you pray together, what we see here in Acts 13, consider the work of the Great Commission, the work of missions. That's what this church is doing in Acts 13. As they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, don't you want to hear that? Don't you want to hear the Holy Spirit tell you to choose to raise up a new couple to do missions? And the Holy Spirit says, set apart from me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. Pray as a church that you would hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And possibly that he would say, I have the couple to send out. I have the man to send out as a new missionary from within your midst. And it continues, then after fasting and praying, they laid hands on them and sent them off to do the work of missions. Evangelizing the world, going to areas where there wasn't a church. The church sent them to do work where there was no church. And what you said this morning, brother, is true. We go to an area, there's no churches. We don't have Christian fellowship. But that's part of doing pioneer missions. Paul had the same situation. He was going to areas where there were no Christians. And that's certainly one of the costs of doing this work. Seminaries and Bible schools, missionary training schools, etc., are not the biblical model from where new missionaries come from. And again, not that they're necessarily wrong, but the model is. We see new missionaries coming from within the local church. The missionaries and evangelists of the New Testament, Barnabas, Silas, John, Mark, where did they come from? The church, right? So what should your response be? One of your main goals as a local church, not your only goal, but certainly one of your main goals as a local church where God has placed you here in New Jersey, should be, needs to be, to send out a new missionary to bring the gospel where it hasn't gone. That should be your goal. Will it happen? You don't know. That should be your goal. That's what you should pray towards and desire in your prayer meetings, as you have family devotions, each family here. Men, as you talk about evangelizing Englewood, your community, evangelizing your neighborhood, also talk about, you know what? Let's pray that the Lord would be pleased, if it's his will, to raise up a family, a couple, a single man from our church to go and preach the gospel where the gospel isn't being preached. That's the emphasis this morning. Should you evangelize your town? Of course. Should you evangelize your coworkers? Of course. That's not the point this morning, though. Let's continue. Question number 4. What kind of new missionaries are taken on and sent out? We'll look back at our text here in Acts 16. What kind of new missionaries are taken on and sent out? So Paul comes to these cities, and obviously the point is he comes to the churches there and gathers with the believers there. And notice what it says of Timothy. He sees Timothy, he meets Timothy. The church puts him forward, however it happened. And it says here in verse 2, he was well spoken of by the brothers. What does that mean? Timothy had a good testimony in his local church. So Paul takes on Timothy as a new missionary because one main reason, he was well spoken of by the brethren. So again, did Paul go around the church and say, you know, I'm looking for help. Who could you recommend? I got the guy for you. And everyone's mentioning one name, Timothy, Timothy, Timothy. Maybe it happened that way. But why did the church recommend him? Because he had a good testimony. What does it mean to have, for you men here, who possibly may be sent out to do this work, the work that Paul was doing, the work that Timothy was doing? Part of what it means to have a good testimony in this area and to be well spoken of is that you are already doing this work, the work of evangelism. You may have heard, going overseas doesn't make you a missionary. You're not just going to land in China or India or New Guinea and, wow, I'm a preacher and I could preach to the unevangelized. It's not going to happen that way. Most likely, Timothy was doing this to some degree. And that's certainly one thing it means when it says that he was well spoken of by the brothers. He was a godly man. He knew the scriptures. Who are the men in this church, in your church, that would be like Timothy? And don't say, well, you know, I'm over 50, so I'm disqualified. The New Testament doesn't encourage you to think in that direction. Whether you're young men, old men, and couples, think in this direction. As you praise a church, consider, who are our best couples? Who are our best men that we could send out to do this work? And here, as Paul goes to these churches and meets Timothy, this is what happened. And he hears that Timothy was a man well spoken of, and he says, Timothy, I want you to come with me. And the church doesn't keep him. The church releases him and sends him on this work. And again, I mentioned couples too because of the example of Priscilla and Aquila in the New Testament. So it's not just, well, a man goes. Now, yes, the man is the preacher. We see that clearly in the scriptures. But couples, Melissa and I, and many other missionary couples that you know, most are couples throughout church history. So couples here in your church, pray about this. Consider this. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you in this direction. And do it as a church as well. Often it seems that the leftovers are sent to the front lines. Did you hear that? That's been my experience. You know, you get to the mission field, you talk to other quote-unquote missionaries, and it's like, how did you end up here? Often it seems that the leftovers are sent. You know, those who really can't do it, well, you know, let's get them off our backs and send them overseas. That's happened time and time again from what I've seen. And I'm not an old guy. That's my experience. As one of the best, possibly the best, Timothy didn't stay, but went. I want you to think about that as a church. The missionaries and evangelists of the New Testament, again, Philip and Epaphras, Titus, Apollos, Priscilla and Aquila, were from the best of the churches. They were qualified. They had good testimonies. They were godly. And because of that, they were able to go and do this work. Think evangelizing your coworkers difficult. You know, imagine going to the Middle East or to India or to Mocha. The best men from the local churches, pray to this end. Consider this work. The work of missionaries preaching the gospel to the unevangelized is so important, we must send our best to do it. We need to send our best to do it. And isn't it worth sending our best? When you think of the gospel, when you think of what Christ has accomplished for his people, isn't it worth sending our best to go do this work? And not thinking, well, let's just have an inward focus and keep the best, but let's send the best for the sake of the kingdom. So again, what should your response to this be? Send one of your best men, one of your best couples to go and preach the gospel where it isn't being preached. Now, does that mean tomorrow they're going to get on a plane? No, it's probably not going to happen that quick. Now, with Timothy, it seemed pretty quick. But as I challenge you, begin at least in the prayer meetings as you gather together. And I commend you for praying for missions, but take it a step further. Pray that if it's the Lord's will, the Lord might raise up a couple from your midst that you can send out directly to do this work. One of your best men or one of your best couples. My friends, there are many unevangelized peoples in this world still. And if you don't go, they will remain unevangelized. We went to Mocha. If we never went, they would to this day be unevangelized. Now, we haven't been there many years, but they would remain unevangelized. And if we didn't go this year or next year, they would continue to remain unevangelized. And by God's calling, his providence, his purpose, now we are in Mocha. But what about the other language group in New Guinea, where there's no Christians? What about the village in India and the people group in China and those who are unevangelized in the Middle East? If you don't go, they remain unevangelized. Now, I say that very directed and pointed to make the point. Now, yeah, the Lord might raise up someone else. But what a privilege it would be if the Lord would raise up a couple from your church, wouldn't it? Let's move on to question number 5. What are new missionaries taken on to do? Now, this is very important. I'm sure most of you, probably all of you, agree with what I'm going to say here. It's not going to be new information. But sadly, again, from my experience, from talking with other missionaries and organizations and such, this is not the case. Question number 5, what are new missionaries taken on to do? Now, we don't see this directly in our text in Acts 16, 1 through 3. We see it indirectly, and it's very clear in a broader context of the book of Acts. Paul took Timothy on as a new missionary to accompany him in evangelistic gospel preaching. A new missionary was taken on, and I appreciate the things that have been said this morning about this, to preach the gospel. That's the main reason that Timothy was taken on. In the New Testament, Paul tells Timothy to preach the word. Timothy was a preacher of the gospel, a preacher of God's word. The New Testament says of Timothy, Paul tells Timothy to do the work of an evangelist. And Paul also refers to Timothy as a co-worker doing the same work. It's clear in the New Testament, Timothy was taken on as a co-worker, a man doing this same kind of work of doing evangelistic gospel preaching. And it's clear from Acts and the missions theme of the New Testament that new missionaries were taken on to do this, evangelistic gospel preaching. And what I just said, again, from my experience, most missionaries, if we could use that term very broadly, are not taken on to do this. But that is what Christ has called us to do. Very simply put and stated, missions is about preaching the gospel to the world. That's missions. That's the Great Commission. In our day and age, especially in America today, with a lot of schools and this, that, and the other, many are sent out to do everything but that. They're sent out to paint a building or dig a well. And, you know, those things are fine. There's nothing sinful with digging a well. And there's nothing sinful with starting a medical clinic. But those things are not the work of the Great Commission. Jesus has called us and commanded us to go and proclaim the gospel. So when you think of a new missionary from your church, when we think of new missionaries being sent out to do this work, certainly one of the first questions we need to deal with and ask is, who's a man that could preach the gospel? And not necessarily from behind a pulpit to a congregation, because it's much different when you're doing it on a street corner or in a park or in a jungle. It's a man who can preach evangelistically to the lost. Let me read some texts here to support this point. And again, I'm sure you all agree with this. This is not new information to you. The gospel must be preached. Matthew 24, 14. This gospel of the kingdom must be preached throughout the entire world, and then the end will come. Luke 9, 6. They went through the villages doing what? Preaching the gospel. Acts 14, 21. They preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples. Acts 16, 10. God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Romans 15, 20, what I read this morning in Sunday school. Paul says, I made it my goal to do what? To preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named. 1 Corinthians 1, 17, Christ sent me to preach the gospel. Now, in the context he's talking about, he didn't send him to baptize. Paul said, he sent me to preach the gospel. And one more, 2 Corinthians 2, 12, Paul says, I came to Troas to preach the gospel. Now, I could read another dozen verses. It's clear in the New Testament that missions is about the church sending men to go and proclaim the message of the gospel. Are other things done in missions? Yes. I talked about that this morning. My wife, she has a medical clinic and she helps the newborn babies. And we have the Airstrip Project. Obviously, other things are happening. But the work is about proclaiming the message of the gospel. And there's only one message this world needs to hear. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. They don't need an airstrip. They don't need medical attention in an ultimate sense. What the world needs is for you to go and declare them the gospel. Beginning with John the Baptist, then to Jesus, to all the disciples and apostles and evangelists, they had one primary activity, proclaiming the gospel. That was the one primary activity. I mean, we don't have to read past the New Testament, even past the book of Acts, to see that. That is a major emphasis and a major theme. And so new missionaries must be taken on to do the same. It's not that the work has changed. And well, now it's 2019 and we're smarter. We know how to do things better. That's not the case. The work remains the same to evangelize the world. And there are villages in China, in the Middle East, in South America, in Africa, in India, and still in New Guinea, where there are no Christians. And what do they need from you? They don't need some fancy American company or some great organization. They don't need that. What they need from you is for you to bring them the message of hope, that in Christ they could be saved. That's what they need from you. And I commend you as a church. You know the gospel. There's a lot of churches in our country, churches that don't know the gospel. But you do. And you are the people of God. And you've been changed by the gospel. And what the world needs from you, not just this community, but what the world needs, is that you would bring them the gospel and that you would proclaim Christ to them. God's word directs God's people to do good works. True? Of course it's true. God directs God's people to do good works. You should help your neighbor. If you have an older neighbor and they can't shovel the snow in winter, go help them. If you know a poor person who doesn't have a lot of food, you give them food. Christians are known by our good works. But the mission of Jesus' church is to announce the gospel to all the peoples of the world. That is the mission. And so new missionaries must be taken on to do this, where the gospel is not being preached. Now let me put in a little parenthesis here before I move on. Again, you might be thinking, well, you know, I'm an individual, I'm a couple, we're not going to do this, our career is taking us this way. And again, God doesn't say to every individual Christian, to every couple that's a Christian, go and do this. In fact, few do it, from what we see in the New Testament. The majority don't. But maybe the Lord would raise up one man, one couple from your church, if that's his will, if that's his purpose. Pray that it would be. And also I want to mention, too, in my experience, and we all have different experiences, but from my experience, as I've talked to churches, to Christians, to married couples and to singles, as I talk about this a lot, we're praying that the Lord would send a couple to help us, but also to emphasize the world needs to be evangelized. One thing I've noticed when it comes to couples, married couples, and I talk to them and I challenge them to consider the work of missions. Usually, not always, but usually it's the man who's more interested. And the husband's like, you know what? We could do this. I'm thinking about this. I'm praying about this. There is a need. There is a desire. And the wife is like, we don't really want to do that. And so for you wives here, maybe that's you, maybe that's not. I don't know. That's my experience, generally speaking. But for the wives here, don't be like that. Encourage your husband to possibly do this work. Not that it's a guarantee today, but to possibly do this work if the Lord would lead in that direction. Encourage your husband. Pray with your husband that together, if it's the Lord's will, he'd open up the door. On the other hand, when I've talked to singles, usually, it's not always the case, but usually, it's the women, the single girls and women who want to do missions, who want to go overseas and do work for God's kingdom. And the single men don't have that desire. They're thinking about everything else, about the culture and about their career and about their jobs and everything else. Those things are fine. But young men, if they're single men here, consider this work. Pray to this end, you young men who are here. Well, let's continue. So we're on our fifth point. What are new missionaries taken on to do? That was a little parenthesis. Fifth question here. What are new missionaries taken on to do? Preach the gospel. And I emphasize that. But it's preach the gospel. A new missionary must preach the gospel as an exclusive message, an exclusive way of salvation. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, there is salvation and no one else. A new missionary sent out to preach that there's salvation only in Jesus Christ. One of the things we face in New Guinea is that there is so-called evangelical presence And then they mix it with the traditional animistic views of the people in New Guinea. That happens all around the world. Well, we're here to bring you the message of the Bible, but we understand that your traditional views are important to you, so we don't want to mess that up, and you can keep that, and you can believe that, that's fine, but just say yes to what we say as well. And that's called syncretism, and they mix the two. That is not the gospel. And those people who hold that and believe that are not saved. There is salvation only in Jesus Christ, and a new missionary is taken on to preach that message. There is one way to God the Father. There is one way for you to be saved from your sin, and that's through what Christ has accomplished on the cross and in his resurrection. And if a new missionary can't preach that, then a new missionary should not be sent. A new missionary must preach repentance of sin as an integral part of the gospel message. Mark 1:15, right at the beginning of his ministry, Jesus said, "Repent." That's what a new missionary needs to be preaching. If people don't repent of their sins, they won't be saved. They can't be saved. Step one, if we could put it in steps, is to repent of your sins and to believe the message of the gospel. A new missionary needs to be taken on to preach repentance. Sadly and unfortunately, again, from my experience, those who are preaching rarely preach repentance. Again, I'm talking about the mission field. A new missionary must preach God's sovereignty and salvation. Romans 9 is the best passage for that. God says to Moses, "I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." So it doesn't depend on human will, but on God. And a new missionary has to preach that. That's one of the things I emphasize time and again in Mocha and the villages around. God must save you. I didn't come here to try to just make you part of my group. There's plenty of people doing that. I didn't come for that. I came to tell you that if you're going to be saved, only God can do it. That's part of the gospel message. God has to be the one to save. That's why we use the word salvation, right? That's why Jesus is the Savior, because he does it, not us. A new missionary must preach the doctrine of hell as part of the gospel message, and that's almost never preached about, let alone in our country, let alone on a mission field. We must preach that people are going to hell. In this community, in this country, and around the world, thousands upon thousands are falling into hell every day. Now, if there's any motivation to pray for the Lord to raise up a new missionary from your midst, it's this. Hell is real. And there are people in your family, in your community, possibly in this very room, that will be in hell. That's a motivation to preach the gospel, to tell your neighbors, and to tell everyone, and to go to areas where the people have never heard the gospel, that there is a hell they're going to, and they need to flee from the wrath to come. Everyone just assumes they're going to heaven. I mean, you could talk to the most wicked, "Oh yeah, of course I'm going to heaven." That's a lie from Satan. A new missionary must preach the resurrection as the historical climax of the gospel. You know, we have no reason to believe the gospel without the resurrection. We just celebrate that in a special way. Last Lord's Day, we celebrate every Lord's Day, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There is no gospel. That's Paul's argument in Romans 15, 1 Corinthians 15. There is no gospel apart from the resurrection. Everybody faces death in Mocha, in New Jersey. The hope that we have is someone has defeated death. That is Jesus Christ in his resurrection. Just a quick story. When we were in Mocha once and that woman died, you may know the story. And God's providence and his purpose, for some reason, the people came and asked me to come and speak at the funeral. And I said, sure. And so I preached on Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead in John chapter 11. Jesus gives life to those of us who are dead. And he's the only way. And he can do that because of his resurrection. Because he has overcome the grave. He has overcome our sin. And that's what we preach. And then finally, I'm just highlighting a few things under this point. New missionaries are taken on to preach the gospel. And finally here, new missionary must be taken on to preach discipleship as part of the gospel. I highlight some of these things because often, maybe this is your experience as well, but certainly it's mine in New Guinea and other places, these things are not being preached on the mission field. If someone's going to be brought into God's kingdom, if someone's going to enter into God's kingdom, if someone's going to be born again and saved, they need to hear these truths and realities of Scripture. And Jesus emphasized this much. Discipleship. Matthew 10, whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. You can't be a Christian and love your parents more than Christ. You can't be a true disciple and love your children more than Christ. That's part of what it means to be a disciple. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. What does it mean to be a disciple? For you, for me, for the people in Mocha, is to be willing to die for the sake of Christ. Now, you probably won't die in America for being Christian. Maybe the day will come, but most likely you won't. But there are many people around the world that are. And Jesus said, count the cost. And for those of you in this room who maybe you're on the fence, maybe on the other side of the fence and you're not converted, I don't know your congregation, but unbelievers in this very room, consider what it costs to become a Christian, to become a disciple. Jesus says you have to be willing to give up everything. I tell that to the people in Mocha. You can't hold on to your animistic belief and say, well, I'm going to follow Jesus too. You can't have one foot in both worlds. You must completely and in full surrender follow Jesus, no matter what it costs. And a new missionary has to be willing and able to preach that message to those who don't know the gospel. Then in Matthew 10, whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So when taking on a new missionary, what's more important than preaching the gospel? And that was the question 5 here. What's more important than that? When we think of sending out a new missionary, why would we send out a new missionary for anything else? This is the most important. Comparatively speaking, this is the only thing that's important, the message of the gospel. So pray that if it's the Lord's will, if it pleases him, he would raise up a couple from your midst to go and preach this gospel. Let's hurry up and conclude. Question number 6. Why should a new missionary be taken on? First of all, and here's just some select texts I took from the scriptures, the New Testament, about missions. Why should we do missions? Why should you as a church pray and consider to send out a new missionary? First, Mark 16:15, Jesus said so. Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. He didn't say, you know what, I had a bright idea, and you know what, in your free time, if you have some spare time, you know, go and evangelize the world. He didn't put it that way, right? He commands his people to do it. People ask me sometimes, you know, why are you doing missions work? Why would you take your family and go to the jungle in New Guinea? Why would you ever do that? Now, there's a lot of things I could mention. One thing I always mention first, though, is Jesus said so. He told us to. For me, that was enough. When Jesus said, go do it, okay, fine, I'll go do it. Now, again, that doesn't mean every individual does it. Christian. But as you pray this verse as a church, maybe the Lord would raise up a family from your church to do this. Another reason, I already read it in Luke chapter 10, because the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. That's a good reason, right? There's a lot of work to be done. Jesus recognized that problem. But there's not a lot of workers to do it. So what do? You have to pray. You have to be willing to go. You have to be willing to give up life in America to bring the gospel to unevangelized people groups and villages, in the deserts, in the jungles, wherever. The only way they're going to hear is if we go. God doesn't just magically make them Christians, you know, with a poof out of the sky. He sends someone. That's Paul's argument in Romans chapter 10. Another reason, so that the unevangelized would hear the gospel and believe. Romans chapter 10, as I just mentioned, how are they to believe in him of whom they've never heard? How are they to hear without someone preaching? That's just obvious, right? Your coworker's no different. Your unsaved sibling, spouse, child, whoever, they're not going to hear the gospel unless you tell them. And how are they preach unless they're sent? So how is that people group in the Himalayas. I'm just throwing something out there. How are they going to hear unless possibly Englewood Baptist Church sends a couple to go preach to them? They won't hear. Another reason, because Christ needs to save his people. John 10:16, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. Notice what he says next. I must bring them. See, missions is not about me trying to go convince someone to become part of a new religion. That's not missions. Missions is about this. Jesus says, I must bring them. Why should we do missions? Why should we send out new missionaries and take new missionaries on? Because Jesus needs to save his people. He does save his people, but he does it through us. And he says, I must bring them. And they will listen to my voice, Jesus says. And how do they hear the voice of Christ? That's Paul's argument in Romans 10 as well. They hear it through the one who preaches the gospel. They hear Christ. They see Christ. They believe in him as the one who is sent tells them of Christ. What a privilege if someone heard Christ's voice from you, right? Whether it's here in New Jersey or in New Guinea or anywhere. But that's what evangelism is all about, is that Christ, that people would hear the voice of Jesus to them. And then Jesus says, so there will be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus said in another place, I will build my church. The gates of hell aren't going to withstand it. Doesn't matter what Satan's going to do. Doesn't matter what the world's going to do and what politics is trying to do. And if everyone tries to burn all the Bibles in the world, that's irrelevant. Jesus will build his church. He will call his sheep. And he does it through sending new missionaries. One final reason under our last point here. Why should new missionaries be taken on? To continue the advance of the gospel in our generation. You know, many of you know the story of D-Day. It's a great example. Just imagine if they just sent the first wave of troops in. We're going to go take the beach and we're going to take France back. And they just sent the first wave. Well, the first wave didn't really make it. There was a handful, I think, of men from the first wave. Well, they never would have taken France. What did they have to do? They had to send wave two and wave three and wave four. And they said, we will not stop until we've taken it. That should be our attitude when it comes to missions. We won't stop until the world's evangelized. We won't stop sending out new missionaries until every last place has been reached. And as a church of Christ here in Englewood, your church, you should directly participate in that. We need to continue the advance of the gospel in our generation until all the places and the peoples of the world are evangelized and Jesus returns. Again, I want to quote Matthew 24:14. Jesus says, this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world. It will happen. Whether I go or not, whether you go or not, it will happen. As a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. What does that mean? The end won't come until we've done the work. And so that's the challenge for you this morning. So in conclusion, let me recap the six questions and answers. I'll spend 10 minutes on them each. No, just kidding. First one, should a new missionary be taken on? Who takes on new missionaries, current missionaries? From where are they taken on? Who sends them out? The local church. What kind of new missionaries are taken on? The best. 5, what are new missionaries taken on to do? They're taken on to preach. Specifically, preach the gospel. And then 6, why should they be taken on? I just gave a few samplings from the scripture and reasons why we should do this. Why should you as a church consider and pray to the end of sending out a new missionary? That's a recap. So if the gospel has transformed our thinking, if the gospel has transformed your goals, if the gospel has transformed your passions and your entire life, as believers here in this church, then one of your main goals should be, your mission, if I can put it that way, will be to get this gospel to the nations of the world. The goal of recruiting a new missionary is not about getting new members to a club or a social group or a large missionary organization. That is the case for a lot of people. Biblically, that's not. We don't recruit new missionaries for those purposes. It's not about doing a short-term global adventure trip. You know, you hear people talking about, you know, we're going to go on a missions trip. It's just about a global adventure trip. That's not why we recruit new missionaries. It's not about seeing the world and becoming more well-rounded in geography and travel or becoming multicultural or bilingual. Now, I know that's the idea that some people have when it comes to missions. But biblically, from what God's word says, that is not the reason we recruit new missionaries. The goal of recruiting new missionaries is about the gospel being proclaimed to all the peoples of the world so that Jesus builds his full church. Not just the church in America, not just some of it in China, not just some of it in India, but he builds his full church of all of the peoples, of all of the languages, of all of the nations, and then he will return for his people. I want to see Christ return. And if it happened in our generation, that would be amazing. I want to see him come. It'd be great to see him come instead of die. I want to see him return. And if you're a believer, you do too, right? But that won't happen until you and I and God's people fulfill the work of the Great Commission. Listen to this. If every biblically based, gospel-centered church sent out one, just one of their best men or their best couples to do this work, and only the churches in America did that, gospel churches, Bible churches, the work of the Great Commission would be done in our generation. There's only 17,000 people groups in the world. And half of them have been reached. I don't know the exact numbers, but just say half. There's not many left. Hey, yeah, a few thousand is a big group, but there are many churches in America that are gospel churches, Bible churches, that if they sent out their best man, their best couple, the work of missions would be done in our generation. Just think of that. So is Jesus and his gospel your one singular passion, as it was with the early church? Then intentionally participate in a new missionary being taken on and sent out from your church. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we thank you for your word that, as we heard this morning already, it directs us. It's a light to our feet. We know what truth is because you've told us. We know how to live because you've told us and you've written it down. And Father, as we have considered this morning this issue and this topic of new missionaries being taken on and sent out to do the work of missions and to preach the gospel around the world, Father, we pray as your people, as your church, as your children, that it would please you and that it would be your purpose to raise up and send out a new missionary from this church. And Father, I pray for this church that they would consider this, that they would pray to this end, that they would fast to this end. That if it's your good will, you would use us in our generation to reach this world with the gospel. Amen.